We'd like to welcome everyone out to our Heatheridge Sixth Ward Sacrament meeting. We also like to acknowledge all the mothers as for Mother's Day. We have Bishop Misbach will be presiding, and he's asked me, Brother Roberts, to conduct. We have some exciting news, and I don't see him here, but Seth Hill has received his mission call to Houston, Texas. So it'll be another missionary going out this summer. You might have noticed we have a few more little babies in our ward, and we'd like just to acknowledge them. The Sperrys, the Hollands, the Matsons, the Mitchells, and the most recent one, the Wagley family. So we'll actually have a little bit of pleasant noise in our sacrament meetings going forward, and a few parents without a little sleep. But it's always exciting to have new babies in our ward. The opening hymn will be on page 87, God is Love, and the invocation will be given by Sister Debbie Misbach.
Our dear Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee this Sabbath day, we are grateful for the opportunity we have to come and attend our meetings today in this beautiful building. We're grateful for the gospel in our lives. We're grateful that it helps guide and protect us throughout this life. We're grateful that we live in a time with a modern-day prophet and that we can listen to his words, and that he will help us to return to thee. We are also grateful for that we live here on this earth when we have the Book of Mormon, and that we can read and study its words, and that it will help us also as we make decisions throughout this life, that we can apply it and it will help us to be happy and to do the things that thou would have us do. We're especially grateful this day for our mothers. We pray that we might remember them, that we might remember the sacrifices that they have made in our behalf, and that we might be grateful for the good things that they have taught us. And we pray that we might honor them by living by the gospel principles that they have taught us, and that we might become better people by doing so. We ask thee to bless those who are speaking this day and teaching lessons, that they might be blessed with thy spirit, that they might say the things that thou would have them say that will help us to live our lives better, and that they might say the things that they have prepared and have thy spirit to be with them. We're grateful for our prophet and for our local leaders, our stake presidency and our bishopric, and ask thee to be with them, help strengthen them, help them have health and inspiration and guidance to fulfill their callings. We're grateful again for all our many blessings, and pray that we might do thy will always. And this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We have called the following individuals. Please stand as your name is read. Max Nelson, primary worker, and Matt Noxon, primary worker. We propose that they be sustained, and those who Those in favor may show it by the uplifted hand. Those who are opposed, if any, may do so by the same sign. Thank you. You may be seated. I'd like to turn the time over to the bishop for some ward business.
So good to be with you today, brothers and sisters. Could Caitlin Cannell join me here at the podium? Caitlin has reached a significant milestone in her life, reaching the age of 16, and we congratulate her on all that comes with that, especially in joining the Laurels class. Congratulations, Caitlin. Thank you.
We have a wonderful program today. Our youth speaker will be Isaac Buhlman. The next speaker will be Diane Decker. We will then have a special primary children's musical number, a Mother's Day medley. And then our concluding speaker will be Rebecca Madsen. We actually end up changing that. So Rebecca Madsen will go after Isaac, and then Diane Decker will be our concluding speaker.
In most every great story of faith, a mother's influence is present somewhere. In Elder Uchtdorf's October 2008 General Conference talk, The Infinite Power of Hope, he describes his mother's faith as they fled from Germany during the winter of 1944 in the midst of World War II. Along the way, the train stopped occasionally to get supplies. One night during one of these stops, my mother hurried out of the train to search for some food for her four children. When she returned, to her great horror, the train and her children were gone. She was weighed down with worry. Desperate prayers filled her heart. She frantically searched the large and dark train station, urgently crisscrossing the numerous tracks and searching the trains. The train had been moved to a remote area of the station. There at last, she found her children again. This is only one example of the great faith and love mothers have for their children. Another great example is that of pioneer mothers. My great-great-great-grandma, Sarah Yarnell Evans, was an American immigrant. She and her family left England in 1857 to come join the Church of Jesus Christ in America. She remained faithful after her husband and daughter died while in Missouri. Sarah got a job as a seamstress and owned a small notion store. Once she had collected enough money, she and her children set out for Utah. She brought her three sons, all of whom were below the age of 9. After much suffering and many trials, they eventually reached Utah and settled the Bench, which is now Orem. Thanks to Sarah, her son Joseph Evans became the owner of 160 acres of land and lived a happy life with his wife, Temperance Penrod. I believe that when the word mother is paired with the word pioneer, it describes the utmost selflessness, faith, endurance, and love ever shown. Like every child, I believe that my mother is the best, kindest, and most generous mother in the world. Not only is my mother a great example of the ideal mother, but also my grandmother. As many of you know, my grandparents lived two houses away from us. This means we visit them very often. Every time we visit my grandmother, she sets aside time to be with me. In fact, when I was younger, my grandmother was the only person who would play cards with me. Only she had the necessary patience and was kind enough to play cards with me for hours on end. The family, a proclamation to the world, states that by divine design, mothers are primarily responsible for the nurture of their children and should do so in love and righteousness. Similarly, William Makepeace Thackeray, an English novelist, said, "Mother is the name for God in the lips and hearts of little children." I know many women who match these descriptions, many of whom in our ward, including those who do not currently have children. I am grateful for them and for their example of love and righteousness. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Becca Madsen, and my husband Peter and I have been in the ward for about 4.5 years now. And we have a little girl who's just about 7 months old next week, and her name is Faye. So I'm a new mother, so I'm excited to talk to you on Mother's Day because it's a little different for me today. This morning, I was thinking a lot about my own mom and other mother figures in my life and the unique qualities that they have that make them extremely special. So I wanted to talk to you today about some of those qualities and how we can take those qualities that we find in mothers, and all of us, even moms, and whether you're not a mom, can use those qualities to help build up the kingdom of God. And I'm going to use the talk, What Shall We Do? By Sister Marriott from the last conference. I'm going to use that talk for some of my concepts and a little bit of my quotes. So the first quality I wanted to talk about is probably the most obvious one of a mother, is how they can easily nurture others. Whether it be physically nurturing or emotionally or spiritually, mothers are consistently nurturing. Think about it. Moms carry babies, unborn babies, for 9 months and are nurturing those babies for a whole 9 months. And then after the babies are born, it completely changes, and they're not only physically nurturing them, but always emotionally and spiritually throughout the rest of their lives as they raise those children. I was thinking moms should get an award every day for the amount of nurturing they do. I remember when I first had Faye, that was the biggest shock for me, was how I would go all day with all of my attention just on taking care of my baby. And by the end of the day, I would find myself still in my pajamas, like, what did I do all day? And I had been physically taking care of her and emotionally taking care of her when she was crying, so that was a huge shock for me. And I think moms should receive an award every day for all the nurturing they do with their own babies and with the neighborhood kids and all the other people that they nurture. But I believe moms come to earth with this quality of nurturing and life-giving gift because it's part of Heavenly Father's plan for his children. In her talk, Sister Marriott says that she believes that to mother means to give life. And she talks about how Eve was called a mother before she even had children. And so I believe everyone, whether a mother or not, can give life to another. Sister Marriott says, there's a quote in here I wanted to read. She says, think of the many ways you give life. It could mean giving emotional life to the hopeless or spiritual life to the doubter. With the help of the Holy Ghost, we can create an emotionally healing place for the discriminated against, the rejected, and the stranger. In these tender yet powerful ways, we build the kingdom of God. So I believe that you can give life just by giving someone a hug when they're down, or even being the person that someone can talk to when they feel like they need a place to belong. Sister Mary also shared a story about a time when she was nurtured and a time of her need that she remembers. I wanted to read you that story. She says, when I was born, my parents planted a magnolia tree in the backyard, so there would be magnolias at my wedding ceremony, held in the Protestant church of my forefathers. But on the day of my marriage, there were no parents by my side and no magnolias. For as a one-year convert to the church, I had traveled to Salt Lake City, Utah, to receive my temple endowment and be sealed to David, my fiancé. When I left Louisiana and neared Utah, a feeling of hopelessness swept over me. Before the wedding, I would be staying with David's step-grandmother, who was lovingly known as Aunt Carol. Here I was, a stranger to Utah, going to stay in a stranger's house before being sealed for eternity, to a family I barely knew. Good thing I loved and trusted my future husband and the Lord. As I stood at the front door of Aunt Carol's house, I wanted to shrink away. The door opened. I stood there like a scared rabbit, and Aunt Carol, without a word, reached out and took me into her arms. She, who had no children of her own, knew that I needed a place to belong. Oh, the comfort and sweetness of that moment. My fear melted, and there came to me a sense of being anchored to a spiritually safe place. Love is making space in your life for someone else, as Aunt Carol did for me. So something that sticks out to me in this story is that Aunt Carol never had kids of her own, yet she had the ability to nurture Sister Mary, and I'm sure she did it with other people and made an impact in their life. And I believe that everyone, whether you're a mom or not, can obtain this quality of nurturing other people. There are many examples in the scriptures of non-mothers that obtain this quality of nurturing, and one that stuck out to me was Nephi. I feel like he was always, always taking care of his brothers and his family. He physically nurtured them numerous times throughout his life, whether it was building a ship to help his family get back to the new world, or whether he was hunting to provide food for his family. He was always physically nurturing them, and then more so than this, he was always spiritually nurturing them. He always was teaching them through examples how to forgive easily. They always did him wrong, but I feel like he was always forgiving them and quick to forgive. And he was always teaching them how to pray and how to receive revelation, and he always had hope for his brothers and prayed for them. And he wasn't even a mother, but yet he was great at demonstrating this quality. But nurturing, of course, isn't always easy to do. Whether you're an overworked, exhausted mom, or if you're a sibling to someone who has lost their way, it takes a lot of selfless sacrifice, and it's difficult sometimes, but it does change lives. In regards to this, Elder Orson W. Whitney, he writes, "All that we suffer and all that we endure, especially when we endure it patiently, purifies our hearts and makes us more tender and charitable. And it is through toil and tribulation that we gain the education which will make us more like our Father and Mother in heaven. These purifying trials bring us to Christ, who can heal us and make us useful in the work of salvation." So when we nurture others, we're helping build the kingdom of God, and we're helping with the salvation of the people around us and our own children. And the second quality I wanted to talk about, and I think it's the most powerful in mothers, is leading by example. And I learned this very early on with my daughter, Faye. When I was at BYU, I took a human development class, and I remember learning that from the minute a baby is just a couple weeks old, they can mimic different facial expressions that their parents do. And I don't know if any of you tried this, but me and my husband tried it. On the first day she was born, we would start sticking our tongue out at her, and she would mimic it exactly, and she was only a couple hours old. And we just thought it was crazy how she can, like, follow us exactly from the minute she was brand new. Another funny example is when we started feeding my daughter solid food, every time we would feed her without thinking, we would say, "Mmm." And so now, without skipping a beat, every time Faye takes a bite, she says, "Mmm." It's just really crazy to us that we have such an impact on other people around us, especially our children. And I've also heard countless stories of missionaries that have changed people's lives through just by example. And I'm sure you all have heard tons of stories like that, too. So the big question is, how can we be a great example to our children and to loved ones in our lives? And I believe the best way to be an example is that oxygen on the airplane method, where you put the oxygen on yourself first and then you give it to your children. And when I first became a mom, I used to focus all of my energy and attention on Faye. And that happened for the first couple weeks, and then I realized I had stopped allowing time for myself. I wasn't bettering myself or furthering myself at all, both in the gospel and outside. And I was like, wow, I need to make time, even though I am a mom, to allow time for myself, to further myself, and that's what's going to be best for her in the long run. And so in her talk, Sister Mariette says, "The first child of God that we must build up in the restored gospel is ourselves. Emma Smith said, 'I desire the Spirit of God to know and understand myself, that I might be able to overcome whatever of tradition or nature that would not extend to my exaltation.'" So we need to first think about how we want our children and others to act first, and then however we want them to act is how we need to act ourselves, and that's how we're going to set the best example. We need to take time for ourselves to develop a steadfast testimony and a strong faith so that we can set those examples. And we need to make sure that we teach either our children or the people around us. If we don't have children, we need to be able to teach them that being different is okay sometimes, and standing out for what is right is okay. Sister Merritt makes a good point about standing out for what's right when she says, being distinct and different from the world will draw some criticism, but we must anchor ourselves to eternal principles and testify of them no matter the world's response. And that's a good thing to teach our children, and we can do that by leading an example as well. And I know that when we do what's right, it does go noticed, and our examples do change lives. And I was reading a talk by President Monson. It was in the last year's conference, and he tells a good story about standing out to me, and I just wanted to read a part to you. Each of us came to earth having been given the light of Christ. As we follow the example of the Savior and live as he lived and as he taught, that light will burn within us and will light the way for others. He goes on to say, to illustrate that the light, which comes from a pure and loving spirit, is recognized by others, I share with you an experience of many years ago. At that time, leaders of the church met with officials in Jerusalem to work out a lease agreement for a land on which the church's Jerusalem center would be built. In order to obtain the permissions needed, the church had to agree that no proselyting would be undertaken by our members who would occupy the center. After that agreement had been made, one of the Israeli officials, who was well acquainted with the church and its members, remarked that he knew the church would honor the no proselyting agreement. But, he said, referring to the students who would attend there, what are we going to do about the light that is in their eyes? May that special light ever shine within us, that it might be recognized and appreciated by others. So I know that when we take the time to better ourselves, that it will eventually return through our children and through the people that we are examples for around us, and that they will see the light in our eyes, whether you're a mother or not. And I know that everyone on earth, they need a place of spiritual and of physical belonging, and I know that through mother-like qualities that we can obtain, that we can teach those people and help those people feel like they have a place to belong. And this is how we take care of each other, and this is how we build up the kingdom of God. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Can you see why we had Sister Dupree sing it by herself instead of all of the teachers? She didn't need us. I got to tell you, this morning I went to a sacrament meeting of my son's family, and my granddaughter was speaking, and she sobbed all the way through her talk. And I thought, yep, she's mine. I can't believe they asked me to speak on Mother's Day. I'm going to pray that you can understand the words and that my composure will be there, because this is definitely a topic near and dear to my heart. As I look around this room, and I've been doing that the whole time I've been sitting on the stage, I've thought, wow, I'm not sure why they asked me other than I can do this talk in retrospect. There are so many in different stages. Some are just starting out. Some are single. It's not been their lot to marry or not their choice. Some have children. Some do not. Some have got children grown. Some still have teenagers here. And what I want you to gather from this talk is, no, first of all, I have really prayed about this, and the Spirit has told me I'm to share personal experiences. And frankly, I didn't really want to do that, but I'm going to do that in hopes that something will touch your heart. When I was growing up, I had two wonderful grandparents. They lived in a very, very hard time. It was the Depression era. One had 9 children, the other had 11. And frankly, having children was a way of surviving. When you work on a farm, you have to have children to help with the daily living. And it was hard. It was a simpler time in many ways, but in others, it was such a time of just needing to be there for one another. And I remember my one grandmother, going back and getting a certificate from the University of Utah when it was not popular to go to school, because she wanted to be able to teach her children. And she wanted to teach the community, and she lived in Little Grover, Utah. And she taught kindergarten through 12th graders in a one-room classroom. I look at her example, and my other grandma, who spent their life in service, and especially in love and devotion to their children. I reap the benefit of those two ladies with being born of goodly parents. Dang. When I think of my mother, I think of a woman who did not like the limelight. She did not. Her role was that of a supporter. She just stood behind my father. She gloried in his accomplishments. And for us children, nothing made her happier than to see us succeed in life. I never, ever doubted that my mother loved me. Never. Despite the fact that sometimes I wonder if I was deserving of that love. Later in her life, my parents decided in their 70s to go on a mission. And 3 months from the end of that mission, she was diagnosed with cancer. She was put on oxygen, and she had a portable oxygen tank, and she continued to visit and to attend the temple. She didn't miss a beat with attending weddings of grandchildren, though we did worry anything over 2 hours was very worrisome, because you had to change the oxygen, or she'd really start having a very difficult time breathing. And as the end came near, we had the opportunity as children to give back some of the care that she gave to us. And I remember one day, my father called us together, and he said, "Mom wants you to all come. She wants you to help plan her funeral." We gathered around her bed, and she surprised us, and she said, "I want each of you to talk at my funeral." Ugh. And she said, "I would like you to tell me what you're going to say right now. I'm not going to be there to hear it, so I'd really like you just to tell me. Just talk to me." Oh, wow. None of us had prepared our talks. We didn't even want to think about that end of life. And it's funny how your mind and your life, it just flashes before you. And I thought of every interaction I'd had with my mother for as long as I could remember. And for some reason, while I was waiting for it to be my turn, I was stuck when I was 16, 17 years old. And I recounted vividly in my mind junior prom. I remember making my dress and not finishing it and going into major drama mode as I knew that the day activity was coming. The zipper was not in that dress. I didn't know what I was going to wear. You can picture this. Anyone that's had teenage girls, you can picture this. And my mother trying to console me and telling me to go, just go, it's gonna be okay. And coming back to having that zipper in the dress, it pressed and ready for me. And you know, in my head, as I'm looking at her and how sick she is, I'm thinking, did I say thanks for that? I hope I did. And then I thought back, oh, I remembered some of the things I said to her when I was in high school and college, when I thought my supreme knowledge that I had gained was greater than hers. And there was this touch of remorse. And I'm going to stop right now and I'm going to say, young men, young women, I got to tell you something. You already know this. Your mothers are not perfect. But the great thing is, neither are you. Heavenly Father gave us families for a reason. It's to help each other to grow and to develop and to work with some of our weaknesses together. And I knew my mom had long forgiven me for the times of my youth. But I took that opportunity, which many people don't get, to be able to sit and say to her, wow, you were always there for me. Despite some of my childishness in my youth, you were always there for me, and I never questioned that I was important to you. And as we talked and we shared, it was such a tender moment. And I thought, how grateful I am to resolve those issues that I had and to be able to just express that love. I share with you, for those of you whose mothers are still living, treasure them. Let them know, not just by your words, but by your actions. Treat them with respect. Understand how lucky you are to be one of those that has a mother who actually loves them, cares for them, wants them. As we were now days from saying goodbye, she was able to get permission and call the mission homes of three of her grandsons that were on missions and say goodbye. She was able to have all of her grandchildren and her children at her bedside singing primary songs as we said goodbye to her. The joy I felt as I understood the reason she wanted us to tell her what we would say in our talks. She wanted to know if her efforts had been recognized and that she could meet her Heavenly Father and have him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We gave her that validation for her to know that she had indeed been a good mom and she'd done a good job. I now look back on my life. Regroup here. I'd like to share you a few things. And ladies, I just want you to just think as I'm saying these things, how many of these things you can relate to. Oh. I had the joy of experiencing love. I found a wonderful person to marry. We did not have an easy time of having children and waited for several years to have that be a gift that came our way. I shared for the first time the understanding of depression as I watched my spouse go deeper and deeper and could not figure out how to help him to the point that that depression ended his life. I became a single mom. I went back to school and finished college that I had put aside as I put him through school and finished school. I found a job I enjoyed where I felt I made a difference. I found love again. I remarried someone that had never been married before. He took my 3 children, and we added 2 more to our family. I watched the decline of his health. I went back to school, and in my 50s, got my master's so that I could be a better provider, as then the roles changed, and I became the breadwinner. I have watched children go on missions and experience that joy, them go to college, them get married, and for 7 wonderful, beautiful grandchildren to come and complete the cycle of life as I again am able to see the start of a new generation. For most of us here, I would say, sisters, that if we ask you what your life was going to be like when you were 16, or maybe even let's start 8 and 9 and wore princess outfits, that your life would probably be different than the life you have now. It might be better, it might be more complicated, but regardless, it's your life. Each of us has been given the challenge, and I mean this with all my heart, to do the best we can do at what we have been given, to be the best of what we can be. It is not to beat yourself up and think of, oh, I should have done that, I should have done this, but to say, did I try my best? Did I keep the Lord a partner in my life, in the relationships that I formed? I will tell you that as I look at you women, we've been in this ward now 28 years. Many of you have helped me raise my family, and I thank you. I thank you for that, because surely you cannot do it alone. For some of you sisters, that children are not your lot, you are very much mothers. Mothers are people that nurture, and wow, we have people in abundance here. For my little primary children, oh, we are small in numbers, are we not? I remember when we first moved here, there were 120 primary students. I had 22 that baptized in the same year. We had missionaries. Those of you that are smiling that have come back to see your parents, we had missionaries, 22, 24, out at the same time. I have watched you all grow, and I will tell you that your parents did not do this alone. I did not do this alone. We need one another, and I thank you for that. I thank you for teaching your children and for letting them be a good example to my children. And I would like to leave you with this thought. And that means you two need to start thinking of a talk, because I'm done early. They said 15 minutes. I'm 15 minutes. So sorry. Think fast. We are daughters of a Father in heaven who loves us, and we love him. We will stand as a witness of God at all times, in all things, in all places. I'm so proud to know all of you sisters, and for the part you've played in my life, thank you very much. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We'd like to thank our speakers for their wonderful words and comments. After the benediction, if the women over the age of 18 could stand, the young men will be coming around with a little treat. So the closing hymn will be on page 124, Be Still My Soul, and the benediction will be given by Brother David Groom.
Our Father in heaven, we're very grateful to have been here today to hear the counsel and the thoughts that were shared. We're grateful, especially this day, to honor mothers. And we give thanks for them. We're thankful for the gospel. We're thankful to belong to a family, a ward family, that support and love us. We pray that we can do thy will and be an example to others and live the gospel as we know we should. And these things we say in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.